I have a very special someone, and she's special because I just watched a show that she was on, and I absolutely loved it. I binged it in one weekend. It has everything. Actress Paula Andrea Placido is known for her roles in Gen Q.
Gen Q.
All right, that sounds better. Gen Q, L Word, Shameless, and currently she plays Gina Solis in Peacock's Apples Never Fall. She is with us today, and I am super excited. I just want to hop into this, like, juicy conversation. How are you, first of all?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed. Can't complain.
Awesome. I love it. I love to hear that. I love this show, as I told you before we hopped on. There are plot twists. There are different storylines going on at the same time. And the thing that I loved about it was all the complex characters that we have in this ensemble. I mean, everyone has something going on. And in the middle of this is this mystery about what happens to Mrs. Delaney, the mom. So you play Gina, and you are Brooke Delaney's fiance. And your relationship hits a roadblock. Let's just say it involves a third person. I have lots of questions, but I'll try to limit them because we're limited on time. But my first question is, this cast, this ensemble is amazingly talented. Annette Bening, Sam Neill, Jake Lacey, Essie Randles, Allison Brie, Connor Merrigan Turner. I mean, the list goes on. What was it like to be part of such an incredible cast? It must have been amazing.
Yeah. When I first found out that I booked it, I started slowly seeing the articles of Annette Bening and then Sam Neill and then Jake and Allison. So as the cast was rounded out, I was just like mind blown. I was like, I get to work with these people and I get to like go to Australia for 4 months and learn and absorb as much as I can from them. Yeah, it was incredible. I think one of the best experiences of my life in so many ways, because I've been so used to, you know, jumping into a character and it's quick, you know, you got 1-2 weeks, you're in, you're out. But this was a process where I was able to live with this character for 4 months. And it was really cool. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, the show has so many plot twists, which is what kept me, it just kept me going. Like, I literally binged it over the weekend. And spoiler alert for anyone that's going to watch, you should mute this part. And I'm not going to give too much detail, but you find out that your partner is cheating on you. But meanwhile, you admit to your own, let's say, minor indiscretion. We're not going to go into it, so because people will be watching. So I found Gina's character super interesting. Like, she was loving and kind and supportive and committed, but she's also flawed. So I'm curious, did you feel that her reaction to Brooke's cheating was justified? And I don't want to give away the end. Or should she have been more compassionate because she wasn't a saint herself, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that without just ripping into it. But I think, honestly, in my opinion, I think her reaction was calm, cool, and collected, and it was a very polite way to go about it. I know that if I was in that situation in my personal life, I was going to ask you that, actually. I've gathered the tools where I think I might have a similar response, but I think the fiery, like, Latina in me would just want to, like, throw the table and like light the place on fire. And I think a lot of my friends would have similar reactions. They would be like, oh, hell no. And they would like No, no, no. I think.
But the thing is, let's be honest, Gina wasn't exactly, being truthful either.
No, I think there was some sort of what's the word? Like, I don't know, emotional cheating?
Yeah,
An
there was.
emotional
And
affair?
some people, and I've actually written about this, some people think emotional cheating is even worse than just like the physical act.
True. I guess it really
Ah.
is perspective and what are your boundaries, you know what I mean? I think Gina makes it very clear what her boundaries are because she says I didn't cross certain lines, you know? So I think, yeah, I don't
Interesting. I
know.
like
Yeah.
it. I like it. So connected to this, like what would you say you mostly connected to about this character in contrast to, let's say, Roxy's character on Gen Q L Word? Any
Yeah.
similarities?
I think they're two totally different people from two different places in the world. Like Roxy comes from a very like privileged background. Her family is very wealthy. She is like a party girl and kind of life is just takes it on a whim. So like Gina is very grounded, very centered and very family oriented, and I think she sees that she sees a future with Brooke in a stable way, you know, like I don't want to say like it's very like hometown, you know, like you got your business, now you got your fiance, you guys are engaged, you have your house, what are the next steps? Like I think Gina was probably like, okay, after the wedding we're gonna have like children or something. So like two very different people, and I think a part of me really hurts for Gina because it's just I think she has a very simple idea of a very like simple and calm and peaceful idea of what she wants from life, and I think the Delaneys are a tornado, and there's just so much family history that has gone unresolved. And things that haven't been spoken and that they're all dealing with. And I think when she does make the decision that she does, I think ultimately is probably for the best because I think that they both want different things. And no matter how like picture perfect it may seem and how maybe your partner feels like they are compassionate and understanding and they check all the boxes, there's still something that's not like that you two aren't connecting with because obviously there's a big lack of communication. And I think ultimately it goes the way that it's supposed to.
I now that you break it down that way, I agree with you. I think the other thing is that there's so many unresolved issues for every member of that family that I think, that character would have brought so much toxicity into Gina's life. And I think it's realistic. Because when you get together with someone, if they're toxic, it's almost like it kind of toxicity breeds toxicity. So I don't know. I think you have a good point there.
One bad apple can spoil the basket, you know?
Exactly. You've played, and this is my sort of impression of what I've seen. You've played really authentic characters, I think. Excuse me. And you have stayed true to the representation of the LGBTQ community. You are multicultural. You're Argentine, Italian, and Colombian. Is that right?
Yes, and I was born DR, so
Oh,
Dominicana.
verdad, se me olvidó. I totally forgot
Sí.
about that. You're right. Yes, that is like an incredible mix. I love it. Now, I find as Latino, especially my parents are Dominican,
I got the accent.
sometimes,
I was like, oh, okay.
yes. Sometimes I can only speak for Dominicans because I come from a Dominican family. sometimes we get caught up in this old mindset and we pass it on, you know, and it's passed on from previous generations. And I think it's up to us to break the cycle. But you've played these authentic characters and they seem true to you in some way. And I just wonder, have you ever experienced a time where you felt like you were not staying true to yourself in any of the characters, or you've kind of kept it real?
Oh, in the characters. I don't know, because I feel like you always have to bring yourself into it and live in the circumstances of the world. So I think no matter what, I could try, but it wouldn't feel authentic. So I think I always bring a part of me to it. Because I can't be anyone but me. So it's like versions, I guess in a way they're like versions or interpretations of me. But I'm trying to think. I don't think, yeah, no,
That's
I
great,
think,
though. That's a good thing. Wow. Okay. That's amazing because I think even in our own lives, sometimes we play characters that we don't want to play, but we either want to please or we want to, you know, do things the right, quote unquote, the right way or the way that it's expected. So the fact that you haven't had to do that and you've stayed true to yourself, I think it's a great thing.
Oh, I think I've definitely have done that in my personal
Well,
life.
that was my next
Definitely.
question I was going to ask. Can you sort and I honestly I know for myself, I've done that. For example, I've become a chameleon in relationships to make someone else happy. And I think we've all done it in one way or another. Can you think of a way, you know, or a time where you've had to do that?
I think the first 10 years of moving to LA were that. And I think during the pandemic I had like a moment of realization of like, okay, so like to get like specific, it was like my Saturn was returning and I was feeling like I'm not happy with who I've been playing these last 10 years. So like let's just completely scratch it all and start brand new and rediscover who I am instead of because I wasn't happy. So I'm like let's start all over and rediscover who I am and be happy with myself. And I think that also led to like the whole shaving my head off and kind of like just it was like a rebirth, but I think there's too many moments to say specifically one, but I think the first 10 years of being here in my 20s, I didn't really know who I was. And it felt a lot of like trying to please people and like fall into this category that this is what people want of me. And nothing really felt authentic. So,
Do you think that, and I just feel that culture has such an impact on the way we live our lives, at least early on until we figure it out. Do you think when you mention you lived, you know, whether it was someone else's life or you lived, you weren't being true to yourself, do you think that your culture had anything to do with it? Because I know for me it did. Absolutely it did.
100%. And I think especially like as a Latin woman, your hair is everything. So I had this idea that if I cut all my hair off, it would be like Samson in the Bible. And like I would lose like everything, and then I
Power.
realized I needed to lose it in order to find myself. And I think it does have a lot to do with my culture because, you know, everyone growing up, oh, your hair is so beautiful, you have such pretty hair, like oh, you know, stand up a little straight, like your shoulders, like be why are you not in dresses? And it's like trying to like conform to this idea of I guess what I thought I needed to look like through my mom's eyes, you know what I mean? So I think I got to a point where I was like, I want to be happy with life and let's just start over and find the things that really like that I like that make me feel good that bring joy to my life,
Well, it looks like from you smile a lot, so it looks like you are in a happy place. At least, I don't know, that's kind of the vibe I get. Like you just feel very comfortable in your skin and you're kind of in a place where you're like, okay, this is me. I'm good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. And it's a lot of work. It's like not every day is like
Oh, I
that,
know, girl, I know.
like but I
I
take the
know.
good with the bad, and like there's rain, there's sunshine, so it's like
Part of the
it's a
journey,
roller
right?
coaster. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, there's a lot of people, I think, like I mentioned, living a life that's not theirs. I think we all do it at some point or other. Do you have any sort of just general advice for anyone that's not living their truth? It's painful. It really is painful to do that.
But I think it comes to a point that like it's your life. You only have one. This is the life that you were given, and you're the one that has to live in this body. And like, who cares about anybody else? Because like at the end of the day, they're not the ones that are in these shoes. So, I think taking pause and really reflecting and muting
Shutting
everything
out
on
the
the
noise,
outside, because I
right?
think there's so many distractions and people will tell you who they think you are or what you should be. And I think pausing everybody and just doing a complete reset is, sorry, I thought I was losing you for a second. No, I think, yeah, muting everybody, I think is important just to be able to hear your own thoughts.
Cutting out the noise. I absolutely agree. Because everyone has an opinion. No, what I was saying was everyone has an opinion, right? So I think cutting out the noise is key. It's just critical. Just to, I think, to our mental health in general, to be honest. Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that I love to do at the end of interviews is to leave our community with some sort of quote mantra piece of advice. And you have a quote on your Instagram that I absolutely love. I've heard different versions of it. It says, "Everything you want is on the other side of fear." That's a powerful quote. What have you found on the other side of fear in your own life, first of all?
Everything that I've ever wanted. To piggyback off of that quote, there's another one that's like, the regret of not doing is greater than the act of doing it. And I think if you don't do it like that it just it, that'll kill you. You know what I mean? So like for me, I was scared to move to LA by myself when I was 18. I did it. Best decision I made. I was scared to shave my head and I did it, and it let me know more about myself. If I'm scared of something, I tend to at least do it just once, just to be like, because I don't want to live with the regret. So I've done many different things. Like I was scared to get on a motorcycle and I learned to do it, and I think it's awesome. I was scared of open water, like scuba diving, and I went and I took a 3-day course, and it was terrifying. I don't think I'll do it again, but I did it. You know what I mean? So like,
Wow.
I think the fear, the pain of the regret is way greater than actually doing it.
Oh, wow. See, you just answered my question. I was going to ask you for a quote mantra piece of advice for anyone who is afraid of doing that thing, whatever it is. It could be a going on a roller coaster. It could be, I don't know, changing jobs. There could be so many things. What kind of advice or mantra or quote, not even quote, because we've talked about quotes, but what can you leave us with that'll kind of get a fire under our seat, so to speak?
I think it's that. It's the regret is so much more painful than the actual action. I was listening to this podcast, and the host was saying he got punched in like 7th grade, and he lived with the regret of not fighting back his whole life, and he's still angry at himself for not standing up for himself. And he said, he's like, I live with that for the rest of my life. So it's just like, do it so you don't have to beat yourself up about it later. And I think so many people live with like, why didn't I, take that chance after college and go do this thing? Or why didn't I ever say hi to the girl? And now I'm living with that, like, so it's just like, just do it so you don't have to like beat yourself up about it later.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think, we're all going through some version of that right now. So I appreciate your words and you sharing your experiences. And before I let you go, I want to ask you to please share how can our community find you?
I have an Instagram. It's PPPLACIDO. So it's 3 P's Lacido. Yeah.
Awesome. And we can find Apples Never Fall on Peacock streaming now. And I watched
Yes.
the entire thing in one weekend. So it's an easy watch.
Good, good, good. You're crazy. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, hon, for being here and best of luck to you. We'll be seeing you again, I'm
Okay.
sure. Thank
I hope
you.
so.
Take care.
Thank
Thanks.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of AW Confidential. Talk to you soon. Bye.